To the book of Ephesians,
chapter number 1, Ephesians, chapter number 1, I begin reading in verse number 15. The Bible says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand, in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and that put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." Let's pray together. Dear Father, again we thank You for Your precious Son. We thank You for the salvation that You've given us in Christ. We ask You, Lord, now that You would be with us, Father, to understand Your will, and Father, that You'd open our eyes, Lord, to understand Your word this afternoon, that Father, we might live lives that are pleasing and glorious and fruitful in Your name and in Your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and he's just finished talking about their salvation and their sealing in the Holy Spirit and how that they've been sanctified, purchased possessions of God. And that's what you are. If you're a child of God, you do not belong to yourself. Nothing about you is yours at all. Nothing. Nothing about you belongs to you in any way, shape, or form. You belong to Christ. And as he spoke to them about these things, he said, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love on all the saints." Now, why does he say that way? Because it is a natural thing. After a person has been born again, it is a natural thing, according to the Spirit of God, that you would love the brethren in Christ. 1 John tells us that he that loveth him that begat loveth him that is begotten of him also. That you can't say, "I love God," and not love the children of God. You can't do that. It's not right. It's not equal. It's not the same. It's just like somebody telling me that this book and the NIV are the same book. Things that are different are not the same. They're not the same. And you can't tell me that you love God and you don't love the brethren. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples," Jesus said, "when you have love one for another." That is, if you will, the litmus test. You know that a person loves God because they love the children of God. They love their fellowship with them. Let me tell you something. If you do not love the fellowship with the children of God, you need to examine yourself and your salvation. It is a natural thing. After I got saved, I loved being around God's people. When I first went to that church out there in Palm Springs, everybody asked me if I was saved. I said I was because I didn't want to be the weirdo. But I knew I wasn't saved. But you know, after I got saved, I just loved being around those people. I love being around God's people. People who love this book. People who love to sing the songs out of the book. Amen. I love being around that. And if you don't, you better examine yourself. Something's wrong in your heart if you don't love being around God's people. If you don't rejoice around God's Word, Let me tell you something. The world isn't going to get any better. It's not. But my life gets better. Singing these songs. I'll tell you something. If you can't go through the songs in this book, in this hymnal, and sing something and it doesn't bless your soul, something's wrong. There's something deeply wrong in your heart. We have an anchor. I love singing. I love that song. Will your anchor hold? Yes, it will. Amen. We have an anchor that keeps the soul. It's an evidence that you've been born again, that you're a new creature. And Paul, he was rejoicing. He said, also after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, he said, after I heard that, he said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Man, I know exactly what Paul is saying here. I know how he feels. I feel the same way. When I hear about somebody getting saved, man, I am praising the Lord for it. I'm praying for them. I'm longing for Christ to be formed in them. I can't wait to hear about the time when they get to win their first soul to Christ. I'm excited about it. Just can't help it. It just blesses my soul to tears. When I see a new Christian, man, they start giving the offering. Boy, that just doesn't tickle my heart. Oh, and to see them testify, they start memorizing Bible verses and liking it. That's just a thrill to me. And they start saying, well, you know, I heard some people talking, and I told them that's not what the Bible. I get excited for them. Because that's Christ being formed in them. Man, and if you're saved, those things ought to excite you too. It ought to. It ought to be a thrill to your soul. He said this. He said, he ceased not to make mention of you in my prayers. What was his prayer? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. And what is that? What we're going to talk about here this afternoon for just a few minutes. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Listen. There are some things that God wants you to understand this afternoon about yourself being a child of God. There's some things He wants you to understand. Now I'm going to tell you something. I remember when I became an NCO, non-commissioned officer. I got the rank of corporal. And we got these things called fit reps, fitness reports. And they judge you entirely differently as an NCO than they do when you're enlisted. And they judge you entirely differently. They had a piece of paper this big, and it had like five rows of things. And the print was this big. And so it was just thing after thing with little check marks boxes. And they would evaluate you on all these different areas of leadership, all up and down there. They had a segment down there where your commanding officer had to write a description of you in words so the Marine Corps would have some kind of idea what kind of Marine you are. But they were called fitness reports. And I remember the first time I sat down with my NCO, I mean my commanding officer, my CO, and we went over that fitness report. And he said, Corporal Poole, I want to see you improve in these areas right here. He pointed them out to me. I said, yes, sir. Next fitness report came by. He said, you've improved in these areas. I want you to improve in these areas. I said, yes, sir. Came back. I got promoted to sergeant. He sat me down and he said, "Sergeant Poole," he says, "we've been working on these areas for you." He says, "there's two other areas I want you, as a sergeant, I want you to excel in these two areas right here. Because you're a sergeant in the United States Marine Corps. And I want you excelling right here." And so I spent the rest of my time in the Marine Corps focusing on being excellent in those two areas that he pointed out to me. Because I was a sergeant in the United States Marine Corps. This is akin to what God is saying here. You are more than I was as a sergeant in the Marine Corps. You are a child of God. That's what you are. If you're born again, you are a child of God. And that's a great thing. And being such, you and I must have. And that's what the captain was doing. He was opening the eyes of my understanding. All right? Because I sort of was, you know, waking up to this thing. God wants to open the eyes of our understanding this afternoon about who we are in Jesus Christ. He wants to open the eyes of our understanding about what is going on, and He gives us these three areas that we need to have our understanding opened, that we need to know, that we need to know that above all else, you must know these things. That's the kind of things that make the prison doors open at midnight when you're singing and praying to God. When you know these kinds of things. When you know these kinds of things, that what gives you peace when your Rockladen is blowing the ship on the sea. It's what gives you peace. When you know these things, when you can stand like Paul did. Oh, he stood there and he said, "listen." He said, "my God whom I serve," he said, "he told me it's going to be all right." Oh, nobody on that ship had any hope that it was all right. Yet Paul stood there and said, "it's going to be all right and nobody's going to die." Why? The eyes of his understanding were open. He understood these things right here. Notice, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, number one, what is the hope of His calling? What is the hope of His calling? God has called you and I. He has called us to come out from the world and be separate. He's called us to be peculiar. He has called us to come out from the world and to present the gospel of salvation to a lost world. What is the hope of His calling? What is the hope of His calling? The hope of His calling is eternal reward. Listen, you may go through some difficulties here. But like Paul said, he said, this light affliction, he said, is not worthy to be compared with the weight in glory. He said, man, he said, the affliction in this world and the hope of the calling of God is like comparing the weight of this piece of paper to the weight of the pulpit. This is nothing. I can't do that with this. What is the hope of His calling? You need to understand that as a child of God, there is a hope for you at all times in every situation. There is help for you in your time of need. Amen? He said we could come boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly. I don't have to come hoping
He'll hear me. You remember when Jesus would pray? Do you remember what it said? He said, Father, he said, I'm not saying these things because you don't hear me. I know you hear me. So I'm saying it for those who are listening. He said, I know you. Do you understand? That's the approach that you and I have to the throne of God. Do you understand? It's not a, oh, I hope he'll hear me. It's, I know he's going to hear me. I know he is. I know he is. And I know if I pray according to his will that I have those things that I've asked of him. There are things that I know are God's will. And when I pray about them, I know that God acts on it. The hope of his calling. Who else? You remember, God told the children of Israel, the whole reason he did that was so that people would say, there's never been a nation had a relationship with God like they do. Man, that is the hope of your calling. And for you to walk around this world and not revel in that hope, well, you're just not understanding. You're not understanding. You're not letting your eyes be opened. There is hope for the Christian always. Always. It doesn't matter where you are or how dark it is. None of that matters. There is always hope for you. The hope of his calling. The knowledge that I know that if I will take this word to lost people in this world, that I will bring forth fruit. I will. I will. Not I might. I will. And until you and I get it settled in our hearts, it's not going to be our eyes wide open. Get it settled in your heart that the word of God, he said, will not return void. Unto me, he said, it will accomplish that purpose that I sent it to. It will. It will. The hope of his calling. Man, it's so, you see so many Christians walking around today. People who say they know God and they got these faces. Well, I sure look full of hope, don't I? Seen that from some of the teenagers in this world. Not a face of hope. Tells me when I look in the mirror and I see that goofball looking back at me like that, I say, what is the matter with you? Where's your hope in the calling of God? Where is it? Where is it? The hope. You need to understand you are a child of God now. And there's hope for a child of God. Notice he said, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Open the eyes of your understanding to the riches that wait for you and I in glory. Well, I can't remember who I was talking about. I think I was talking to my wife. I think we were talking about, think of all the light. Jesus, when he transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration there in front of Peter, James, and John, the Bible said that he shone above the brightness of the sun. Now, the sun's bright. It is bright. But Jesus shone above the brightness of the sun. I can't imagine that. That brightness. And then you got that city with the streets of pure gold, clear as glass. crystal clear, shining down through the foundation with 12 manner of precious stones. You know, we were looking at some garnets back during my wife's birthday, and there were some of them, they just had sort of a dull look to them. Or they looked sort of orangish. But she got one, and she'll show it to you. It's a red garnet. And it shines real nice and light. And it's just a really nice stone. God's foundation isn't going to be filled with muddy stones. Those foundation stones are going to be clear and vibrant. And all that light coming down and the gates of pearl and the light shining above the sun through the pearl and through this gold city streets and down through that foundation, that's going to be an amazing sight to see. If nothing else, I think that if I saw it in this body, I would probably pass out. I think I would. I think it is going to be so unbelievably fantastic that if you were in a human body, you would just pass out. I've never seen that kind of glory. I've never seen that kind of riches. And I got a mansion prepared for me. I'm going to dwell in that city. Walking around in it. Man, you know how you ever go to one of them home and garden shows? And they got these houses built inside the building. And you're walking through the house with all the new fixtures and everything. And the, look at that, Man, that ain't nothing compared to what you're going to walk through in glory. You'll be oohing and aahing for eternity. You're a child of God, for crying out loud. You need the eyes of your understanding of what the riches of the inheritance in the saints is. The riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. That's part of you. I inherit it all with Jesus. Man, I can do without some things here if I'm going to inherit it all. It might be a little rough here, but that's all right. Jesus is coming to the rescue. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened to the hope of His calling, that you and I as children of God are never forsaken, that we are promised fruitfulness and peace. The riches of the glory of His inheritance, what it's going to be, and not just that, but my new body. My new body. I'll be able to sing at the top of my lungs, and my vocal cords will never get strained or tired. I'll be able to listen to the living Word of God as He speaks. And I'll never go weary. I will revel in the delights of God's glory for eternity. Wow. Wow. Revel in it. That's what I'll do. There's nothing in this world compares to what I'm going to have in the next. And it says in verse 19, the third thing, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him in His own right hand in heavenly places. You know, There's a song. And the chorus says, "My name is Lazarus. Can I testify? My name is Lazarus. It feels great to be alive." He said that, I can't even remember how old the words are now. It's just gone through my mind. But, you know, he said that, you know, the song says, you know, if you think your little problem is too big for God to solve. He raised Lazarus from the dead. You don't have any problem he can't solve. You need eyes to understand, opened to the power of God. To the amazing power of God. If he can raise from the dead, what can he not do for you? If he can raise from the dead. Boy, that's the biggest problem everybody has, isn't it? One day they're going to die. But Jesus can raise you from the dead. I think about Lazarus. Dying. And then hearing Jesus tell him to come back. Lazarus, come forth. Him entering again into his body that was laying in the grave for 4 days, and surely it stinketh. But when he came back in, there was nothing in the Bible said anything about a stench. When they loosed him and let him go, there's nothing wrong with him then. Sometimes I just get to thinking about it, because, you know, later on you read Lazarus is with Jesus at a dinner, and the Pharisees are there and people are there because they came to see Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. And I just think about Lazarus sitting there with Jesus, and, you know, he knows what's waiting when he dies. And he's sitting with the one who called him back. He knows he's going to die again. But he's just sitting with the one. And you can't get him away from Jesus. The power of God. You're a child of God. And he is going, is wanting, is eager to work on your behalf. If you will let him. If you will let him. Just get out of the way. You know, Jesus didn't need any help raising Lazarus from the dead. He could have said, "Lazarus, come forth," and left the stone there, but he wouldn't have been able to get out. He wanted everybody to see the power of God. You need to push the stone back. Open the eyes of the understanding, that you might understand, he said, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. I serve a great God, a powerful Savior. That's why I don't have any fear about telling people the gospel. I don't worry about telling them what the Word of God says. I serve a God of great power. And he's going to work on my behalf. And not only that, but if I'm talking to somebody and I think it's going to get too deep for me, I don't have to worry. I serve a great God, a great power. He can go deeper than anybody else. And I love it when I'm talking to somebody and they're saying all this stuff and all of a sudden God says, ping. You ever hear God ping? Ping. Oh, thank you, Lord. And there's the answer. And then they're done talking. Not because of me, but because of the great power of my God. The great power of my God. He shuts the mouth. Isn't that what the Bible said? Isn't that what he said in Titus? That you may put to silence the mouth of the gainsayers? That's what you are. You're a silencer to the gainsayers. You're a riser-upper of those who would try to put you down. That's what God makes us. Paul said it this way. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. More. More. I'm not just a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm greater than a conqueror because of the mighty power of God. Open your eyes, dear Christians, and think about who you are. Think about who God has made you to be. You ought to rejoice in it. Amen. It ought to be a cause of rejoicing. He said, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. I think about that. Jesus fills all in all. And He's in me. He fills all things. And He's in me. The infinite, matchless God of creation lives in me. That don't awe you? I don't know how to help you. To know that God lives in me. That He walks with me. He talks with me. Just like the song says. I love that song because it's true. He walks with me and talks with me and tells me I'm His own. When I'm doing wrong and when I'm doing right, He walks with me, talks with me, and tells me, Tim, you belong to me, you know. Tim, you're mine. I'm yours. I am my beloved and He is mine. His banner over me is love. I am my beloved and He is mine. His banner over me is love. I am my beloved and He is mine. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. Boy, the eyes, your understanding get opened. And that's where the joy rolls in. That's where the joy rolls in. You know, you might be startled by a loud noise. You might be moved by a beautiful song. But when you see something, you never forget it. Makes me think of Fanny J. Crosby. Wrote all those hymns. She was a blind woman. You know the first thing she saw? Was Jesus. God's so good. Oh, God's so good. Never to be able to see anything, but the first thing she saw was Jesus. What a privilege. What a privilege. Yeah, we'd feel bad for blind people here. Deaf people never hear nothing. Get saved, first thing they hear is Jesus' voice. What is his power? Wow, what a God we serve. Let's all stand to our feet for just a few minutes this afternoon.